God is so good.
Y'all want to get the boast out of your preacher. Now, please don't take offense, but don't just sit there looking like this. You want to get more out of her? Preach back to her. Amen. Let her feel what you're feeling. Amen. Tell her, come on.
Amen. Every new minister needs needs their daddy cheering them on, and I'm blessed every day that goes by that I get to be with them. And God is good, and He does all things well. And you know, I don't know where you're at this morning, but I tell you what. Oh, I just swallowed my Altoid.
Come out in Jesus.
Mama Brenda, I'm going to need that water. That is burning all the way down. But anyhow, I was in praise and worship this morning, and the Lord began to just minister to my heart about the people that have known God and they've walked away from God. And my heart this morning is on the person that they're not here and they're in a backslidden state, and I'm brokenhearted over them. And so you know what? If you've got a loved one, if you've got somebody that you care deeply about, I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to have about 1 minute worth of praying for that person, because you know what? God wants to save and deliver that person, but God needs you to stand in the gap for them and to believe God and not turn your back on them. And Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, God, I bring out every person, God, that's supposed to be right here in this church. God, they're in a backslidden state, and God, I'm asking you to preserve their life, God. Help them, Lord, to come back to you. God, I thank you, God, that you do all things well. God, that you're stirring them in right now in the name of Jesus. Satan, you can't have them. Satan, take your hands off of them. Satan, stop telling them a lie. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you that they're coming in, that there's no excuse, that there's no holdup, that every bond is broken, every addiction is broken. Right now, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you, Lord, that every excuse that they've laid before you, God, they're tired. God, they're depressed. God, they're weak. God, they don't feel like it. God, they're offended at the pastor. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I'm asking you right now, God, to do whatever it takes. God, don't let them die and go to hell. God, I'm asking you to bring them in, and I break every bondage right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, and we call it done. God, I thank you that they're coming through the door. God, I thank you that every night when they go to bed, God, that you're putting this before them right now in the name of Jesus. God, that they start becoming very unhappy with their life, with the way that it is. God, they're sick of living that way in Jesus' name. And Lord, we give you all the glory. God, we give you praise. And Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 22, and we're going to begin at verses 6. Amen. Glory. And it says, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife as the two of them went on together. And Isaac spoke up and he said to his father, Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied, the fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God Himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. And you know what? There's a lot of people and they're saying, where is God? Where is my answer? Where is my healing? Where is my family? Where's my children? And God, you said that if I'd bring them to church, God, you'd make a man out of them. You'd make a woman out of them. And God, they're in a backslidden state. And God's saying, I have the lamb. See, I've got what you're needing. You need to press in. And it says here, God Himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. And the two of them went on together. And when they had reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. And he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, do not lay a hand on the boy. He said, do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God. Now I'm here to tell you today, for the sinner, fear is fear. For the Christian, fear is reverence. See, you don't got to walk around afraid of your own shadow. When God saved you, He didn't make you a sissified little girl. No, He said, I'll give you the strength to stand where no man can stand, because you're my son, because you're my daughter, because I've made a covenant with you. But you know what? God's got to have a man that will walk in reverence of Him, because let me tell you something. There's times where it looks like everything is falling out of the bottom, and God needs somebody to reverence the Lord and say, you know what? God will provide the lamb. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to be where I'm supposed to be. We have a problem in the church. See, if this was a problem out there, see, we'd be having a different discussion, but see, we got a problem in the church. People going to Fort Smith, Hobby Lobbying it up on Saturday, they're too busy to come to church on Sunday. I'm going to tell you something. That is not of God. It's not. I'm not harping on can't never miss a church service, but you know what? If you put something else before the living God, tragedy will be at the door when you walk out in the morning. Amen? People got to start reverencing the Holy Spirit, because when you get in a crunch, when you get in a bind, the Holy Spirit is going to be right there. But see, when you haven't put Him first, when you haven't made a practice of it, see, what's going to happen? It's a free-for-all. Amen? And He said, I will provide the lamb. And you know what? Then we're going to read on, and it says, oh, Abraham's looking over. Oh, there he sees a ram. God let him get to the point that he had the dagger in his hand about to kill Isaac. He said, hold on a minute. I know that you fear me. I know that you reverence me. I know that you would do anything that I asked you to do. Go kill that ram instead of your kid. Amen. So, glory, I'm talking this morning about a deeper reverence for Jesus. Because you know what, Christians? God's got things for you to do. God says, I want you to love me with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. Because I've got things for you you never thought I could do. I got places you never thought that you could be. And I'm going to tell you something. Every Thursday, when I go to celebrate recovery, Brenda, and I sit around there with people that I thought I was better than, and I start praying, God, forgive them for their trespasses. God, forgive me. You know? You start learning how to reverence the Holy Spirit. Because you know what? Man, there's been something on me that I ain't never quite had before. And it's a reverence. Because I'm not just like, oh. But you know what? I love God enough that when He says, hold up. When He says, no, it's not time yet. I love Him enough to shut my big mouth, because God's God. God's God on my best day. God's God on my worst day. God's God alone when I need Him to come through. He's never been late when I need Him to reveal Himself to me. When I'm having a bad day. When I feel like I'm coming up empty. When I feel like everybody's left me. When I feel like they betrayed me. When I feel like they stabbed me in the back. When it's all gone downhill. He's always been there. That's why I reverence Him. That's why I love Him. Not because I'm so awesome, because I'm a moron, and He loves me anyways. Glory. Yeah, I said the word moron. Give me a minute, I'll probably say something else.
Praise God.
Now let's go to Job chapter 1, and we're talking about reverencing the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, God.
And it's something I believe that people's lacking. The Christian in particularly. Job chapter 1 and verse 1, and it says here, in the land of Uz there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and he was upright. He feared God and he shunned evil. When you begin to fear God, when you begin to reverence God, there's going to be something that takes place in your very soul that gets you to stop doing the thing that you've always had a problem with. There's a thing inside of you where it breaks your heart to know that you've disappointed God. You love Him so much that you say, God, I don't want to hurt You anymore. God, I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit anymore. God, I'm going to tear away every idol that I've put before You. See, us Christians, we got a lot of idols, Brother Larry. You know? Anything that you put before the living God, it's an idol. And let me give you a tip. It's going. You want to put something before God? You better watch out. See, it's high time. People, when they get married, they tell that spouse, I'm going to love God more than I love you. And it's higher time that they mean that. Amen? Because you can't have Jack Diddley if you don't got that reverence of God. Because you know what? There's that something inside of you that makes you change. There's that something inside of you that makes you start shunning the things that you used to just go all willy-nilly with. You know, that's when you can tell you're developing a reverence. See, it's like I said, for the sinner, fear is fear. For the believer, man, fear is an absolute adoration, reverence, just because you love God. Because He's the only one that's never left you. He's the only one that's never hurt you so badly you didn't know if you could ever recover. See, that's a God that we serve. And glory be to Jesus. Now let's go to Job chapter 28. And we're going to look at verse 28. And it says, and He said to man, the fear of the Lord, that's wisdom. The fear and the reverence of God, now that's intelligence. The person, the Christian angel that understands that they have to have a fear and a reverence of God. See, if you can place that in your heart, that's something that I have to have. Because if I don't, I'm going to get all haughty-taughty and high and mighty. And I'm going to think I'm something I'm not. And then I'm going to act in a way that I think I'm something I'm not. And that's when the tragedy comes, when you get too big for your britches. See, I had somebody say, where do you think I went wrong? My God, Stephanie, I didn't even know where to start. I was thinking, man, out of all the stuff you've done, good Lord. Well, if I just have to pull something out of someplace, I guess it could be the fact that you compromised one too many times. See, one too many times you stop letting God be God. One too many times you put yourself in a place where God told you it wasn't holy and you did it anyways. And then that's how you get up in things where, man, you don't know whether you're up, you don't know whether you're down, because you have confused your own self. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and there's very few that find it. Why? Because there ain't very many people looking for it. Because, hey, we're in a touchy-feely world where everybody is all in touch with their feelings. People need to put their feelings aside and man up and woman up and say, I don't care what my feelings feel. My feelings are wrong. My feelings are what got me here today. Amen. And so Job chapter 28 and verse 28 says, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. The reverence of God, that is true wisdom. And to shun evil, we just talked about shunning evil. To shun evil is understanding. See, when you got that fear of the Lord, you've got that reverence, and you begin to shun some things, you stop overindulging. You stop binging on that sin. You stop binging on that thought that you know isn't right, that you know isn't pleasing. When you stop that, you're on your way, because that means that you had some understanding about the kingdom of God and what happens in the kingdom of God. Amen. And so to shun evil is understanding. We're going to talk about wisdom and we're going to talk about understanding, because they go hand in hand. Amen. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 12 through 13. And it says, because the Lord disciplines those He loves, as a father the son He delights in. See, you think that you're going to be a child of God and get out doing the wrong thing, and you think that God is not going to deal with you? He's going to deal with you. Why? Because He adores you. Because He loves you. I love Carson Paul so much, I'm not going to let him be a criminal over my dead body, because when he acts up, I'm going to make him look at people in the eye and say, I did it and I'm wrong. See, we're not going to have somebody that's going to be a treachery to society constantly. See, when you do something and you know, see, the Word of God says it is better for a man to never know God than to know Him and to turn their back on Him. Why do you think we just got done praying for the backslider? Because I'm afraid for them, because if they don't get it right. See, do you hate your enemy so bad that you want them in hell? I don't even hate my enemy that bad. I'm hating them less and less. Why? Because I know God is not happy with me hating on them.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
And I've done some major binging on my thought life of hating their guts. God is not pleased. I don't hate them enough that I want them to go to hell. And you know what? I want God to take my case with my loved one, that they've made bad decisions, that they've acted out, that they've done things that have hurt our family. I want God to step in. I want Him to save that person so bad that, man, they become broken at the things that they've done. Why? So they can go to heaven. Amen. See, stop hating on folks and stop loving them into the kingdom. Because, man, when you love somebody, you're dying on your knees. You're saying, God save them. God help them. God, if I've done something that stunts their growth, if I've done something, if I've enabled them, if I've done this, if I've done that, God help me to act differently. God help me to be a better support system. God help me to reverence You more than I ever have before. Amen? A healthy Christian reverence.
Amen.
Glory.
Glory to God.
Okay. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26. He who fears the Lord has a secure fortress. Let me tell you something. When you get in this life, certain things about this life make you feel so insecure. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Ain't you ever felt insecure about anything in your life? You do. The devil's right there in the morning. I remember my single days, I thought, oh, I'm going to be a crazy, wild, single cat woman. I asked my mother one day what she thought about that, and she agreed. That really scared me. She goes, I'm just afraid you're going to be a cat woman. And then I thought, oh, I don't even like cats. That's the scary part. And then I got with Dad, and I said, Dad, you don't think I'm going to be a scary, crazy cat woman, do you? He sold me something very divine. He said, Kelly, you like boys too much for that. Thank God for truth. If you're single in here, heed right now. Too many single Christian people do not have a reverence for the Holy Spirit. If you dig out of the same bucket that you found the last loser in, you're going to have yourself another loser. See, you got to leave that bucket alone. Shun it. Get yourself over here in God's bucket. Don't reach your hand in there, because God will draw him out. God will draw her out. You be the person you want to marry. You want a tongue-talking man of God? You be a tongue-talking man of woman. I didn't say I was always politically correct. You get where I'm going? Now, I wouldn't preach about single folks if we didn't have so many in here. See, God said, Kelly, you need to decide real quick what kind of minister you want to be. Because I got a lot of people that'll just say what's pleasing. I need somebody to hit it and hit it hard and keep hitting it till you're almost shoving it down their throat when they go and they walk out and they think about the next loser they decide to date. Now, I ain't got the guts pastor's got. I heard you, Daddy. Hit it till they get it. That's right. So anyways, he who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children, it will be a refuge. See, what we learn in Celebrate Recovery is we sit around a table where people actually know how to be honest. Why? Because they've lost everything. That's why. That's why Christians have a disconnect, because see, they haven't lost it all because they've made believe their whole life. And you know what? You get over there at the Mark Bain Center and they'll tell you, my children were not enough. That's what they'll tell you. See, and right here we've just read, if you'll fear God, man, you'll fear Him to the point that your children reap a blessing from the fact that you've reverenced God as much as you possibly could. Amen? See, we like to sound like we're good-hearted, whatever, and a lot of us are good-hearted, but a lot of us are full of it too at the same time, because see, we want to act like we love our children, we do anything for our children. I mean, I'd probably kill for mine, but see, well, Kelly, you love your children so much. Why are you setting such a bad example about being a bitter old biddy? I started looking at Carson Paul the other day, Jody, and he started showing a little signs of bitterness at some things. Where did he get that? See, stop puffing yourself up. Deflate yourself a little bit so you can come down to where you actually are, and then you can get it straight. Amen. And it says here that he who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge. See, you want your kids to have a place to go when they've hit rock bottom? Man, show them the fear of God. Don't be crying about your grown-up kids not serving God, not acting right, when you've got stuff in your life, God saying, I want to pluck them out because they're not pleasing. See, you want something, come higher. Get that filth out of your own life where your kids can see, mama's made a difference. Daddy's made a difference. They're doing something differently. They're honoring God. They're showing reverence to God. They fear God. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a man from the snares of death. See, when you reverence God, God begins to turn you. What is He doing? He's turning you from things that are going to hurt you. There are things that at face value, they look real good. They sound good. They smell good. We think it's all good. And God will begin to turn that person. Why? Because it's all wrong. Because it's all not right. See, God will turn a person if they learn how to fear Him. If they get a place dug out in that heart that's so full of the world's junk where they say, I'm going to put God there. I'm going to reverence Him. I'm going to change. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. When it's not what I want to do, I'll do it. See? And it says, the fear of the Lord, it's a fountain of life. See, you're so depressed in your life because you're not really living. Yeah. Amen. Sister Kelly. You're so aggravated with your life because you're not really living, because you're not living in Him completely at the full capacity. Because what does God's Word say? It says, listen here, folks. In Him we live. In Him we move. And in Him, that's where we have our being. You don't exist without that. See, you wonder why you're numb? Start living in Jesus. Start reverencing God. If you started, continue. Increase. God never meant for you to stay at the same average level consistently. He wants you to go higher. Why? Because there's people out there on their way to hell if you don't act what you're supposed to be acting like. If we don't do what we're supposed to do. If we don't be who we're supposed to be. And God will turn that man from the snares. You ever been snared up? Very unpleasant. You ever been caught in something you thought, how did I get here? And then you get real uncomfortable. There's a reverence that the Christian has to have in that heart, in their soul. There's things that I've done, and I was chastised so badly for them by God that I literally thought I was in hell on earth. Now, God only chastises those He loves. Amen. But after those experiences that I've had, there's something inside of me, Kayla, that says I don't ever want to go there again. See, when you spank your kid because they've acted up for the 47th time in 3 minutes, now they're going to get it. There's certain things that my kids won't do anymore because I've showed them what they're going to get when they do it. There's the thing, and it begins to come up inside of the Christian heart that really loves God that says, oh, I'm scared to do that no more. I don't want none of that. And then there's something else. You shun that a couple times. You say, no, I'm not going to do that. And then what happens? That place, that understanding and that wisdom, it gets deeper. It gets more intelligent. And then decisions that you used to be horrible at, you hit it on the head just a little bit more. See, God wants you to have a good life. God wants you to be blessed, blessed abundantly, good measure, overflowing, running over, all of that. How do you get there? Reverencing God. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 16, verses 6 through 7. And it says, through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. You love God? I'm calling you bluff. Stop doing that thing that you know God is not pleased with. We all have those things, Claudie. Now, most of my junk I'll tell. There's some stuff that's so bad I ain't telling them. Not even if I'm preaching. Usually I'll just tell all to get your attention and keep you from going to sleep. But you know what, Brenda? There's things that only me and God know. We're going to keep them that way. Mama's thinking, thank you, God. She's not going to tell all her business. Look here. How honest can you be with yourself? See, there's things that we know God's not real happy with, and we continue to do them. And we say, but I'm doing all these other things good. But I'm doing this right. Why do we care so much about that? Because it's holding you up. It's becoming that idol. Don't worry, Mama. I'm not going to tell them all of it. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for, and through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to live at peace with him. I have put too much time, energy, emotion, crying, depression, oppression, anger into my enemy for years, if I'm very honest about it. And we love to see those verses in the Bible where it talks about God just whacking them right over the head. So, Jeremy, put on that killing movie. I'm in a bad mood. I want to see somebody get it. I do not want none of that touchy-feely stuff. Feeling like seeing somebody get smacked. How honest can you be with yourself? See, I'll say it, and y'all think it. And the inside joke is, Jody, I fake so many things in my life, I don't care about what everybody thinks. Because really, when it's my life, and I'm at the great white throne of judgment, it's me and him. What did I do? What did I say? Did I do what I was supposed to do? Did I get that sin out of my life? Did I start being the woman that God told me I was? See, when God tells you who you are, it's intimidating. You don't think I've wanted to run 100 times from who I'm supposed to be? Absolutely. Almost every day. Why? Because it's going to be very uncomfortable. Because it's going to be very lonely. Because see, people like to talk smack. People like to judge you. It makes you feel unworthy. It makes you feel insecure. Like you can't be what you know God's told you you could be. Stop listening to what people are saying. Stop caring so much about, yeah, I want at that table with my enemy and God's going to do all this stuff. There's a time and a place for that. There's a time and a place to stop caring about that enemy so much because it becomes an idol. It becomes a thing in your life that hinders you and paralyzes you to where if somebody even mentions their name, it haunts you the rest of the day. See, I wouldn't preach about it if it wasn't real life. But it's real life, and I know it is because it's my life. See, I can't stand up here and preach out of anybody else's life but my own. Because y'all would get offended. I mean, let's be honest. It says, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to live at peace with him. You know what? Everybody wants their enemies to like them. Nobody wants somebody to not like them. If we're just very honest, Miss Deborah, everybody likes to be liked. Everybody likes to be understood. Everybody likes for them to be everybody's favorite person. Is that reality for people like me? No. Man, I'm doing good if I got 3 people in one day that really like me. I'm learning to be okay with that. Lori. Because I know that when my ways please Him, my enemies are instantly at peace. They don't have a choice. See? They don't have a choice. They may act like they're not going to be at peace. See, if God had to come down and shut the mouths of lions to protect Daniel, He went down there and He just shut their mouth. If God has to come down and shut the mouth of your enemy, He'll do it. If He has to come down and say, see that one right there, they love me. They fear me and they reverence me. They put me first. See, you want to get to the next place in your life? Put them first. Get that sin that's inside of your life. Get it out of there because it is hindering you. It has got a snare on you. It's hurting you. You're making excuses for it. You know you're making excuses. If you're listening to me on CD, stop making them excuses and start making them right turnaround decisions. Because see, we just read in the Bible where it says God will begin to turn somebody to shun that evil. See, sometimes we have things called triggers and temptations. Some get you all tempted. I've been tempted for several months just to go and make a fool of myself. Why? Because I felt justified in it. I felt like I had a reason. I've had something on me so strong called the reverence of God that says, Kelly, you are not stepping out of line. You let yourself live in that state and you forgot who you were. You got confused. You lost who you were. You were a bad example to people that needed you to be who you were supposed to be. Kelly, you better not step out of line this time. There was that pulling that I knew that, you know what, God, I love you more than I love anything. I love you more than I love my own children. I love you more than I love my husband. I love you more than anything. If you're telling me that you'll take care of my enemy, that I need to shut up, I'm going to take you at your word. Let's get back up here. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23. And it says here, The fear of the Lord leads to life, and then one rests. A lot of people ain't resting these days. Why? Because they're very troubled. Why are they troubled? The fear of the Lord leads to life. That goes back to my thing. In Him we live. In Him we move. In Him we have our being. Without Him, you ain't really living. Amen. Without Him, you ain't really being. Amen. And so that's why we're reading this right here, right now, that says, the fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content. Some of us, it's been a very long time since we've been content. Content is a state of being where it doesn't matter that everything isn't going exactly right. Content, Sister Mary, is when we know God's got it. I'm resting because I'm content. I'm resting because I fear God enough. I reverence Him enough that my pea brain can look back at all those times He was right on the money. He was right on time. See, you want to rest. You want to be content. Fear God. Reverence God. Put Him first. Get that thing out of your head that's telling you you're right when you know that you're wrong. And it says, then one rests content and untouched by trouble. Trouble, trouble, trouble is that everywhere we turn most times. But if you can reverence God, you're going to have that thing where it's untouching. It's not touching you. Why? Because you're resting. Why are you resting? Because you're content. Why are you content? Because you know. You've made that place for Him. See, God's not gonna leave you on a date and He's going to show up late. He's going to be a no-show. God don't do that. He's right on time. And He ain't hard up. My dad used to say, God is not a 16-year-old boy hard up for a date. And then He used to tell us girls, y'all stop acting like you're in heat and behave. I just woke everybody up in the building. Yeah, He said it. I always thought, why is He saying that? Then my sweet Lulu, she got in heat for her first time. And I was thinking, that's exactly how us girls acted. Huh. Wow, the similarity. Y'all needed that. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. And it says that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything that God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken from it. God does it so that men will revere Him, so that they'll have a place, so that they'll stop all that they're doing, so that they'll make a place for some reverence for Him. Why does He make our lives so good? Why does He help us out all the time? So that we'll fear Him, so that we'll reverence Him, so that we'll say the next time that we have an opportunity to make the same wrong decision, that we stop ourselves and say, wait a minute. I'm not that person anymore, and I'm going to make a change. I'm not looking at that person in the mirror asking them to change. I'm telling them to. I'm telling them that they have to line up. I'm telling my body that it has to line up with God's Word. See, how do you have the dominion and the strength to tell somebody, you're going to line up? Because see, the first person we got to tell is ourselves. How do we do that? You get that reverence in there. Get that mind that's been so clogged up, get it clear, and start remembering what God has done for you. And whatever is has already been, and what will be has been before, and God will call the past to account. Now let's look in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 through 14. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. See, nothing is hidden from God. That's why I'm telling you to get those things that you think that you're hiding, those sins that you know are wrong, that you keep justifying, get them out of your life. Because you're better than that. Because God's been better to you than that. Amen. See, it's time that you stop acting like you're living and truly, really live. Amen. We wonder why we get so numb in life. Because we confuse ourselves when we make believe. Acts chapter... Well, I've already said that. That's the verse where it tells you, in Him we live, in Him we move. I've pounded that till I can't pound it no more. We're going to go on to the next verse, which is, for me, last verse, Hebrews chapter 12, and verse 28. And it says here, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. See, what are you getting right now? What did God say He would do for you? What has God's Word said that He would do for you? Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. See, we act like, oh, we want God to move in the worship service. Me too. You bring it. You want an awesome this or that in this church? Step up. You want things to turn around in your life? Give them some reverence. Give them some awe. Give them the praise that's due to Him. Stop saying, oh, I'm too sick to come. I'm too this. I'm too that. I'm tired from going to this place yesterday. You know what? Put them first. Because when all of us have to watch what's happened when you don't, it's going to be devastating. Amen? Well, I think I've pounded it till I hope they've gotten it. Let's welcome our pastor back up here this morning.
Wonderful, 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 Cal. Remind me, somebody, it was do what? Preach it till they get it? Is that it? What was it? Till they quit it. Something till they quit it. What was it?
Hit it till they quit it.
Hit it till they quit it. In the sound booth, could I have some music, please? You know, I believe with all my heart that God is leading us to a place of resurrection power, a place of resurrection. But I'm going to share this with you. I don't believe there's ever a resurrection without a crucifixion. I'm going to ask you the hardest thing I can ask you to do. If there's something you know, God wants you to put that to death. And you're going to start working on that. I'm going to ask you to stand in front here. Let's stop kidding. Let's put our chips on the table. Let's put our hand down. Have you got a royal flush? I'm asking you to come and stand up here. I'm going to give you a moment. I understand this is a hard thing to ask. Thank you, God. See, we've asked all the easy questions. If you've got something, stand up here with courage. Father, as people are still making their way to the front, I know you're waiting. You're waiting for a crucified people, where you can empower a resurrected people. Father, for everybody that's up here, for everybody that's standing up here, in Jesus' name, Lord, these people are your children. Lord, these people they really love you. Though they be few, they are mighty. We're looking for a revival to come into these walls, into all of our programs. Everybody look at me for a moment. Killer ideas. How many did we, where's Brenda? Is she in here? How many did we feed this morning? How many children? Say 5 or 6. We fed 16 kids this morning. There's other ideas like that to empower your life. I think everybody's here. I think you're sincere. I'm standing here with you. Look here. I'm right with you on this. I don't know if he can use a preacher that he's not working on. Let me say it again. I don't think he can use a deacon or a preacher that he's not working on inside of him. He's working in me, Brother Charles. He's working in me. He's working in me. He's demanding of me. He says, I want it and I want it now. Father, in Jesus' name. They don't need to hear me no more. They just need to feel that resurrection power. It's coming. It's coming Easter morning. I just want to say that. It's coming Easter morning. Would you lift your hands with me? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his resurrection power. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Because there's been a crucifixion, there's going to be a resurrection. He's going to blow your minds with blessings. I said, God is going to blow your minds with blessings, church. He is going to blow your minds with blessings. You're going to see, you know what? He's going to protect our children. Our children are going to dwell safely, as was preached, because of what we're doing right now. There's no empty tomb without a cross. And the Lord lift up his resurrection power upon you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Shake somebody's hand before you go. Encourage somebody.